Welcome to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, where we teach you how to break free from restrictive diets, restore your metabolism, and build a body you love so you can look and feel your best as you age. All right, let's dive into this episode.
I'm Kitty Bloomfield, co-founder of New Strength and Saturate, creator of Pro Metabolic Food Supplements and Seriously Saturated Skin Care. And today I have my gorgeous friend, Ruby, from Australia on the podcast. I met Ruby in Australia last time I was back there when my sister had bloody breast cancer, and I'd followed her on Instagram for ages, and then I saw her in the gym. And somehow we just started talking, and then we were like, oh, we should do a training session together while I'm here. And then since then we've just kept in contact, and she's brilliant. She's like incredibly strong, stronger than me. I did a session with her hungover actually. Because I had a few too many drinks with my poor friend's parents that died.
Dressed like a champagne glass as well.
Yeah, that's what she said. So, yeah, we just have kept in contact, and we've been saying that we're going to do a podcast for ages, but we just are only getting around to it now. So welcome to the podcast, Ruby.
Oh, I was so excited to meet you. Like, friggin' hell, I love Kitty to bits, and this is going to be one hell of a podcast. Hello and welcome to 100% Real with Ruby. Today, I am so excited to have one of my amazing friends, Kitty, on. And Kitty, just like me, we are a pro advocate of muscle and carbs. And I think the way we're going to start this podcast is talking about what we left off right before we clicked record. And that's the whole myth around muscle doesn't really burn all that much in calories. But to be honest, we have anecdotal evidence, and we've experienced it. We've seen it in our clients that it actually has a huge role, because muscle isn't just some slab of steak on your body. It's something that actually sends out hormonal signals. It's something that creates energy. It's something that is able to take in a lot more carbs, use a lot more carbs effectively. But you know what else that muscle does? It allows you to lift heavier. It allows you to do more work in the gym, meaning for the same training session, you are burning a shit ton more calories versus when you're doing cardio for that very same session. Over time, you're burning less and less and less because you're adapting to it. Muscle, you're able to lift a lot more for the same reps, for the same sets, for the same amount of time. That is a lot more calorie burn because you're breaking apart tissue. You're then repairing the tissue, and that tissue then moves around the day. That tissue is then able to use fuels a lot better. It's a lot more effective at moving your body around. So with that, Kitty, tell me a little bit more about what you are getting into with your love of carbs. Well, just basically what you've, let's just talk carbs and muscle.
Yeah, so Ruby and I were just having a chat off air, just having a bit of a catch up. And I think we typically probably work with the same demographic of women. And we are very similar. Like, we were both very small, under-muscled. We were really good at restriction. So I've seen the photos of you, you know, back in the day, and you were tiny. So you're a lot shorter than me. So I'm 5'8". And at my smallest, I was 54 kilos. At my heaviest, I've been 75 kilos. So I've been at every weight in between. And, you know, I think a lot of women that we work with, they have always just focused on losing weight and dieting and cutting calories. And they've never really had a focus on, you know, building the body that they want. They're always just destroying the body they have with this cardio and like crazy diets and cutting and slashing carbs. And I think what happens over time, you know, especially as you get into your 40s, like I'm nearly 45, is, you know, women think that their metabolism slows down due to age, but it doesn't actually slow down really until after 60. But why it slows down is because, well, you know, you're losing muscle mass because you're not training in a way that actually builds it. So muscle, having more muscle is the number one, would you agree with this, contributor to your resting metabolic rate? And then there's other things like, you know, you're drinking too much alcohol, you're mega stressed, you're not getting sleep, you know, you're eating these low calorie diets, which is down regulating metabolism. You do this year after year after year. And what you end up with is this body that just has very little muscle mass. And so, you know, one thing that we really get you to focus on, and it's hard to see at the start because muscle takes time to build, and to really see this transformation, it's going to probably take you 12 plus months, like more than that, you know, to really build an amazing physique. But you'll see good changes in 12 months if you sort of go all in. But, you know, when you actually, you know, eat a little bit more food. So a lot of the women we work with, yes, they need to lose body fat. Like they're sitting at 30 plus body fat. So we want to get them into the healthy body fat range. But because they're novice lifters, they can eat in a smaller calorie deficit, put all that energy into training. What they can do is what we call is recomp their body. So they're actually building muscle and losing body fat at the same time. And I'm sure Ruby can attest to this, like this anecdotal evidence is that what I've found with the women that actually eat a little bit more food, they're still in a small deficit, but they really go hard in the training and they improve their lifts. They get good at strength training. They build muscle is as their body fat comes down, when they finally get to that, you know, let's say they want to get to, I don't know, 67 kilos at 22% body fat, they're actually able to eat more calories and maintain that new body weight because they've got more muscle. So, you know, I think it is a hard to get your head around because you're so used to being told that cut calories, I just want to focus and weight. When you're doing weight loss, it gives you that quick instant gratification. Oh, you know, I've lost some weight, I've lost some weight. Whereas when you're doing it the way that we encourage you to do it, you'll often see less movement on the scales. But over time, I find it compounds, don't you? Like it's like they it starts off slow, but then as they get good at lifting and they can execute the movements well and they start to get stronger, all of a sudden they're like, oh, like fuck, I can start to see my stomach. You know, I'm starting to see some shoulders now. All my measurements are coming down. And, you know, it's a lot more, it's a lot healthier too. Cause again, like a lot of women that we work with, they come in with, you know, fucking perimenopausal, menopausal symptoms, shitty sleep, you know, like irregular cycles, you know, these metabolic sort of health issues. So your body, it needs nutrients and energy to function properly, to heal. So if you're, you know, constantly eating 1500 calories, not only can't you build muscle, but you're not actually giving your body the energy and nutrients it needs to function optimally. So it's like you're sort of just cutting your nose off to spite your face, really. Like that was a bit of a long-winded thing, but I think it's and it, you just it's hard. I get it. It's hard, you know, because when you're trying to break free of that, eat less, do more, you know? Like, would you agree with that?
I think that last part there is probably a really good place to now take it forward because what you mentioned there, eat less, do more, do more, it doesn't make sense. Like it doesn't. And where I was before I got scooped up from my own coach, which took me forever, because this is the other thing as well, right? It's a huge investment. It's we have to pay a coach for this. We have to. But the thing is, we came at it with this 12-week mentality. So then you have in mind, oh, I need to make sure I get this result by my 12th week mark. And because that's on your mind, and then it's like, well, 12 weeks is here. You haven't got what you want. So then you go on to the next thing and the next thing. And if we keep thinking of things in, I'm signing up for this 12-week thing with this coach, or I'm signing up for what's your minimum? And then you sign up for the minimum, and then you wonder why you're still in the same place month after month. It's because you need to commit to that coach, to that thing for long enough, because just like Kitty said, muscle. Technically, scientifically, biologically, it takes 16 times longer to build because you can lose 1 kilo of fat in a week. You'd be lucky to even build 1 kilo in 3 months. It is a very slow process, and you could probably get 1 kilo in 3 months if you're doing everything right, if you're not eating 1500 calories, if you're fueling your training sessions, and you have learnt to train like someone who actually wants to change their body, which is different from just following a program. It's one that act like most programs, you just follow a sheet. Ones that actually encourage you to progressively overload, ones that actually encourage you to get stronger, which I know yours does as well, because yours, you told me yourself, it's chasing that. Let's get your PBs. Let's get you actually chasing that strength. That is what builds a physique. And that takes time. But in that period of time, you're going to feel like you're getting fluffier because it's opposite from what you're used to. So you're going, that's why the scale is going to stuff you over every single time because you're going to be wanting to chase the same numbers. You're going to be wanting to see that scale go down or scared to see it fluctuate upwards. And every single time something happens out of what you think is success for body composition, what you're used to, what's comfortable, you freak out, you panic, and then you start to pull back without even realizing. And then wonder why things aren't working anymore because you haven't realized that internally you pulled back because of this fear that's inside of you. And then you want to see this shape, but that shape isn't going to be there without building the muscle. It's muscle that builds shape. And you did say on a in a slight deficit with my girls, something that exactly I've seen it as well. I like to really push maintenance as much as I can because it's maintenance for the body that you want, not the body that you have now. Your maintenance now might be really high up if you have a lot of weight to lose. So we want to bring that down to a level between like 1700, 1800, 1900, 2000, get you learning how to fuel, getting you away from always the sabotaging mindset of thinking less, 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 because that isn't able to be sustainable right now. We haven't built anything. And once we can put all of this mental masturbation, all of this, I call it the zone of shit, actually. Not, well, yeah, it's mental masturbation, but what you spoke about, it's the zone of shit. It's where you're not eating low enough in a specific, like actual strategic diet phase where you can strip the fat, where you can see your body lean up, but you're also not eating enough to fuel your training. You're not eating enough to actually put that effort into training to rebuild, to build muscle. So you're effectively getting nothing because you can't stick to the low calories. So why don't we learn how to build up your metabolic health? Why don't we learn how to fuel? And this is where Kitty and I both have our favorite carbs ever as sourdough bread,
I do
because we
love so.
fuel our sessions
Do you know what
with Vegemite.
the other thing I think that you probably agree with this too is like and why we're so big on the tracking, and you don't have to track forever. Like we've got a lot, and I've had long periods of time where I don't track. But like again, we came to Thailand, went through a mega stressful time, and it's not the stress that puts on the weight; it's the overeating because I'm tired. And you know, also in just I was enjoying myself, going out on the weekends, drinking. I don't drink a lot, but I drank more than I usually would. Then you know, I'm eating more red duck curries. Just an overall calorie surplus over time. Not we don't get as much steps over here, which would you would. Be surprised. It's just not great to walk. Like in Australia, we would walk to and from the gym. It was really good to walk. So less steps. So over a 7 month period, I put on about 2.5 kilos. So sitting at just under 22% body fat, which is still in the healthy body fat range. But just for me, I'm used to sitting a bit lower and that's where my clothes fit. So, you know, and I because I've done this so many times, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to set my calories, eat in a deficit, either maintain my lifts. I might be able to add a little bit to my lifts, you know, but I'm pretty advanced. And I know that the fat will drop off. And this is why the tracking is so important because I find that women either one, they're not tracking at all, two, they're tracking, but they're not as actually as consistent as they think that they are. And I'm not saying this to, you know, like offend you, but it's just what you think you're doing and what you're actually doing is two different things. And you know, once we get you actually eating the right amount of food for your goals, and again, this is like ours is a very data-driven process. We get you to come in, set body composition goals. We look at your current body composition. We set macros. We track everything. And then we look at the data and we say to ourselves, okay, cool. What's happening with your body composition? What's happening with your weight, your measurements? How's all your biofeedback markers? And from there, we can make adjustments. But it's so interesting. And I'm sure you get this too, women in it, because they'll come into our challenge. They're like, oh, fuck, Kitty, I've started tracking my food. And like, oh my God, I'm just eating so much fat. I didn't realize how much fat I'm eating. You know, like they get
Oh,
so clear.
yes. It
And
is
it's,
not, it's not the carbs. It's the fat. This is the thing people do not realize. And half the time, oh, I could go on a soapbox on this. It should I cut my carbs for summer? Most of the time, it is fats that are the culprit. It is so hard to reduce your fats. But the thing is, the fats that you're tracking in your app that are too much aren't even all of the fats that you're eating because you forgot to count the butter that you put on your bread. You forgot to count the little spritz of oil that you put onto your salad.
Or you go out too when you're eating out a lot as well. It's so like, and I know this because you can just tell in the foods, like you don't really know what's in it. And so I find that once they really start to dial it in and track accurately, and like I'm sure you get your clients to this too, like we recommend, and I still do this myself, is like I'll do a meal plan, I'd prep the food. You know, I still eat all these delicious foods. Like I have sourdough bread for breakfast with butter and jam, eggs, cheese, milk, you know, yogurts. I have hot chocolates at night, ice cream. I make my own ice cream, Ninja Creami, delicious bread, you know, pasta, not pasta, sorry. Sometimes I eat pasta, rice, potatoes. So you can still eat a lot of these delicious foods, orange juice. I love orange juice. But once they actually track their food, they're like, oh, wow. Like, and then they are actually, you can consistently, instead of going through this like drastically, cut calories and I overeat drastically. We sort of find that middle ground. And then your body loves that consistency. Like my body, I get up every morning, I'm hungry. I want to eat breakfast. I feel hungry in between meals. And I think once they get the tracking down pat and the meal planning, they actually save time and it becomes so much less stressful. Do you get that too? Like women say to me, oh my God, the food noise is gone. Women go on holidays. Had this woman, Sue. So she. Oh, this is a good example of the muscle gain. So Ruby, she's got Hashimoto. She came into the program. She did worked on building up her strength first and just sitting at maintenance for a bit. Then she did a fat loss phase with Craig. So she lost 18 kilos in 6 months. She was like a robot, basically. She got down to like 68 kilos at 18%. Then we reverse dieted her and really pushed her strength up. She got a DEXA scan at the start of the build phase and she got one in 6 months. She put on at 62, 4 kilos of muscle. Confirmed by DEXA because, when you're leaner, and maybe Ruby can talk a little bit more about this, but your body's like more primed for carbohydrates, it's more sensitive to insulin. So it's like when you're lean, it's the perfect time to like push your calories up with carbs. Usually we keep fat and protein the same and really push the lifts up, the strength up, and you're going to build more muscle. But it's like she's now, so she lost all the weight. Now she's maintaining her new weight and body composition, eating like over 2,000 calories a day. So it just shows if you can get precise with it and exact, yeah, it's just that most of the time you're just not accurate. You just don't actually know,
That's the thing, it's
yeah.
that part right there. It's like, don't come on here saying, oh my God, I want her results. I'm jealous. Give me her plan. It's like, well, no, that's not going to work. Like, just hiring either one of us to give you a plan that got someone else results, it's not going to work unless you're going to track things the exact same way. Stop. Instead of wanting someone else's results, see what it is that they did to get there. And most people who get these results, they're ones who are tracking things properly. And like you said, there's no way that you can put that client as an example into a fat loss phase like that if there was none of that stability to start with. Because if your calories are up, down, everywhere, you don't even track half of the time. What is there to build off? Like, there's nothing, there's no structure. It's all staggered. It's like there's nothing solid for us to start stacking bricks for it to start traveling us forward. And that's the thing with the carbs as well. It's like, even though you're not lean, carbs still serve you for the fact that they are a
100%.
highest. Yeah, they are a higher satiety factor, but the thing is, you need to be a lot more calculated with it and go for the ones that are more fibrous. Go for the ones that are going to help you with the satiety factor, because if your insulin isn't as re-regulated or as sensitive as it is, if you've had more muscle mass, if you had less body fat, then we're going to need to have it in a way that isn't going to spike the cravings. We're going to make sure that we have the protein, the fiber. But otherwise, you can actually, this is exactly why I think that muscle is more metabolic as well, because now we can start to fuel you better. It's not going to lead to lags in energy. It's going to allow you to use that fuel. It's going to allow you to push your calories up higher. And you tell me, what is a life that is more vibrant to live? One where you're trying, well, actually, one where you're arguing for the non-true fact that 1500 calories is your maintenance, or you consider, possibly try to consider that if you allowed yourself to stop trying to white knuckle your way leaner, you let yourself eat more food to get some sort of stability in your tracking where you're not skipping tracking the chocolate because it doesn't fit within your calorie range that's on MyFitnessPal, and you don't want to log something and then go over all the time, or something that just gives you a lot more confidence that you can do this thing. Because as soon as you start to eat more food, train harder, then we can actually put you into a proper deficit, which will be the 1500 calories, because you were just eating over 2000 calories, or maybe even 800, 1800. Because something that you mentioned there that's really important as well with women that are over 45 and losing muscle mass, etc. I find that a lot of women in that category, because they've been trying to diet their whole life and haven't put enough time long enough into building muscle. And building muscle doesn't mean eating more food. It doesn't mean training longer, training harder. It means training effectively to build muscle. That is what builds muscle. You need to be eating enough to then fuel the repair process. So yes, you need to be eating enough, but eating more doesn't just equal muscle
Yeah,
gain.
you got to be
You need the
specific. It's specific. You need to be absolutely. This is why we measure everything, and I think too, like you say, like it's looking at the individual. Like for example, I signed up this lady yesterday to her coaching program, and she's great. She's like in her 50, she's in her 40s, she's nearly 50, and she's like, I've been following you for a while. I've downloaded some guides from other people, and I've managed to lose 11 kilos. And I was like, fucking well done. And she's like, I've been training with this app and doing the progressive overload. And she's like, but like, I've got a lot of brain fog, like low energy. I can feel my hormones are out of balance. So I just sort of asked her a few more questions. I was like, okay, cool. I said, but first of all, fucking well done. So you've obviously just been eating in a deficit. So I asked her a bit more about her food, what she's been eating. And then I asked her for her strength numbers. And so it was very clear to me that she'd just been eating in too much of a deficit, not including enough carbs and these like nutrient, like a lot of women cut out fruit, which have got of vitamins and minerals and vitamin C. Like we get a lot of our client, we get all of our clients eat liver and oysters and dairy. So getting these nutrient dense foods into your body. But then I said, okay, cool. She weighs 75 kilos. I was like, what could you deadlift for 5 reps? And I think she said like 60 kilos. And I said, okay, one, I can already tell you're not eating enough carbohydrates, but two, you're just not training to your true capability. So I said, you're 75 kilos. Like, we want to get your deadlift to like 120, 130. Like, your weight's going to come down, obviously, as you recomp. But I said, we need to get you eating more on a consistent basis, eating more carbs, getting these nutrient dense foods in. And then I'm going to set you some strength goals. Because I said, for example, I'm 68 kilos. I can deadlift 140 for 7. I'm not saying that you need to deadlift that. Like, Ruby's ridiculously strong, stronger than me. That's why she looks like she looks. So you've done really well to get the fat off, but you've probably just done it a bit too aggressively and you're not fueling your training. And she's doing like 3 sets of 10. Again, like we see this a lot in a lot of women. And I used to do the same thing until I met Craig. And we just, in our programs, 2 sets, pull up one short. Like, I do as many reps as I can until I can't do, and if I think I'll fail in the next rep. So with good form, and that's when I pull up. So I'm like, so many women, one, are just doing junk volume. So, and Ruby can probably talk in more detail on this because she'll have more knowledge around the training than me, but you're not actually lifting to your true capability because one, your technique's not dialed in. So when you've got good technique, think about it like this, like when you're executing a squat and you're tight and you're bracing well and it's you're doing it properly, you're actually stimulating more of the target muscle tissue. And when your technique's good, you can push it close to failure. So you need to get, I don't know what the studies fucking say, 5 reps short of failure, but I'm like, I just think everyone should fucking do is I think just from working with women, do as many reps as possible, leave one in the tank. One in the tank. That seems to work well because so many women don't actually know how to train to true failure. So they're really missing out on these reps and their technique's not great. So they're again missing out on reps. So it's dial that technique in, push, I just generally do between 5 to 15 reps, like probably less on the compounds, a little bit higher on the, like if I'm doing lat pull down, I would work up to 12 or 13 or, whatever. And then, bicep curls, tricep push downs, but squats, deadlifts, compounds, I'd probably do under 10, but I'm like, if you're so many women are just doing 3 sets of 10, never actually pushing themselves close to failure, because think about it like this. If you've got two women, they weigh the same, but let's say that they're 70 kilos. One can deadlift 50 kilos for 10 reps, and the other can deadlift 100 kilos for 10 reps. Who's going to have more muscle? Who's going to look better? It's just fucking comes back to it's simple. It's
Anyway,
how strong are you? Like, it's
that
not
looks
that,
that
like,
apart.
we overcomplicate the fuck out of it, I think. It's like, can you add 50 kilos to your deadlift over a 12 month period? Whatever. Like, Ruby looks like she looks. Because she's and look, a lot of you are never going to get to where she is because she's fucking even stronger than me. I'm like, she's ridiculous. Her power to weight ratio, I'm like, woman, you are crazy. She's incredible. But even if you got halfway there, you would look a hell of a lot better and you would be able to eat more food, like.
I actually love the fact that you said that before we even clicked record. Like, even if you get half of the way to what you think you're going to get to, that is a hell of a lot further than going around in circles, circling the block. It's like you never even left the vicinity of your house. We want to actually get you onto a motorway, onto a highway, and start driving in a direction. And you said a few things that the first thing that you said was double that client's deadlift. And that can freak a lot of women out. Like, I'm
Totally.
doing 60 kilos, doing 120. That means I'm going to get bigger. That means I'm going to get bulky. It's like, no, strength is lean. Lean is muscle. And I typically want all my ladies, except for squats and deadlifts, I want them to be more like skill lifts that still need to feel hard. But everything else outside of the skill lifts, I want you training to failure because your idea of training two away
Totally.
or three away, even one away, is far off. Like, if you're not grinding that last rep, There's a difference between muscle, like complete failure, which I know this is exactly what you do with your coaching. There's a complete difference between complete failure and technique failure, where your form actually starts to drop off, because that is what we want. We want it at that point, because then your muscles aren't, you're not impeding your recovery for the next set. And the worst thing that you can do, which is what I was guilty of, if you feel like you underperformed or you didn't burn enough calories in your session, you then add in another set and then more reps. It's like, no, we're training to get strong here. And something you said amazingly there with the loading of the muscles and learning how to squat and learning how to do all these things that actually build the body you want. That is why these skill moves are fundamental to learn, because it leaks into everything else that you do in the gym. Because if you can squat properly and hinge properly, you're going to load your glutes more. You're going to actually load your hamstrings. Hamstrings are the thing that most women struggle with, because most women struggle with hinging. They struggle with getting their core engaged. That is all part of a really well-formed squat, performed squat, a really well-performed RDL. If you can learn how to brace, then you can start to actually apply way more tension and have a bigger runway to then load all your other lifts, because bracing also comes into pull-ups. It comes into pull-downs to load the right muscles there, so you're not swinging around. Like, that brace is everything. And if I find, I'm sure a lot of women come to you with this as well, where we just want to get the number, like if we see that numbers on the lookbook are important, then we just want to get stronger, or we just see the scale instead of actually putting time into, let's step back. Let's teach you how to lift. Let's teach you how to brace and put time into some of this mobility work if we need it to get you squatting and hinging better. Because as soon as we master that, everything else just starts to take off from there. Because otherwise, it's almost like it's muffled. You're never going to get past a certain point. You'll keep hitting up against it because the weak links have never got fixed.
Yeah, and like if you're listening to this, and I get it, like you're scared, if you're someone who hasn't trained before and you're scared to go to the gym, I totally get that. Like that's a very normal feeling, but it will go away. Like if you just go in there and you give it a crack, and like most people, or not most, all people aren't even looking at you. Like they are just looking at themselves. They're too busy focused on themselves. And you'll never get better if you never try. And if you're like, we don't usually program low bar back squats or high bar back squats for our clients. It's a very technical exercise. Like online, we typically like, if you're thinking, fuck, how am I going to learn how to squat? You can do leg press. You can do hack squat. You can do a V squat. Like deadlifting, I think, is a much easier lift to master. Like, you just brace and fucking pull it off the ground. Like it's not as much finesse. So like don't be afraid to use machines, like because they allow you to load up more. There's not as much stability element, so you can push them harder. Like a lot of our clients online, if they've got a gym, we'll get them to hack squat, we'll get them to pendulum squat, we'll get them to just do the machines. So you can even start there, and like it don't feel like you can't use machines and you have to do all free weights. Like I mean, I love squatting, like I've done powerlifting like you, but I've spent a lot of time working with one-on-one with coaches in person to really master my squat. So I think it is a very technical exercise, but yeah, you don't have to squat. Like deadlift, I reckon everyone should hinge. Like I feel like the deadlift is the best builder for your body. That, and I see women who they like, this is a great example. This one of this clients, she joined a group coaching program. She actually did one-on-one first and then she came to the group coaching. She worked on her nutrition first with the coach, and then she was doing like dumbbell only program, and she's like, oh, I just, every time I diet at like 1700 calories, I feel so hungry, it's so hard. And I said, well, that's because you just haven't built enough muscle. So I said, what about if we do this instead of focusing on dieting? I want you to put your big girl pants on, and we're going to give you a program where you can do deadlifts. You can do Smith squats. You just go to the gym instead of training home with the dumbbells. And she was like, oh, I'm just so afraid. And I said, look, I know. I said, but you're going to be fine. Like, how much do you want to eat more and be in better shape and, like get that body? And so she's like, yeah, okay, Kitty. Anyway, so she would video her deadlift every week, come to my coaching calls. I'd give her technique feedback. In 7 months, she's 65 kilos. She went from deadlifting zero to, she sent me a video like a few months ago. She deadlifted 120 kilos for 2 reps. I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. I just want to jump in quickly and talk a little bit more about our 28-day Rebuild Your Metabolism Challenge. So if you're new here, or you've been following me for a while and you've heard me talk about the RYM method, but you haven't jumped in, the 28-day challenge is the perfect way to kickstart your transformation and experience what the RYM method is all about. In 28 days, you're going to learn how to nourish your body, build muscle and strength, lose stubborn body fat, and restore your metabolism using sustainable strategies, all tailored for women over 40. The challenge is designed to show you that real results don't come from deprivation or cutting carbs or fasting or doing endless hours of cardio and HIIT classes. They actually come from fueling your body with pro-metabolic foods, carbohydrates, and building muscle through effective strength training, and then creating sustainable habits that actually work. You're going to learn how to eat more, eat carbs, train smarter, and feel amazing while seeing real progress in 28 days. So if you've been searching for a program that actually works, this is your chance to see how incredible you can feel when you fuel your body and train with intention. So once you sign up, you're going to be invited to the 28-day community platform, which also has the course materials and instructions on how to get set up with our app. So every day, Craig and I spend time answering questions in the community, and we help coach you through the entire process of what to eat, how much to eat, and how to exercise to restore your metabolism, build muscle, and lose body fat sustainably, all while using the new Strength Tracker app to track your progress, your training, and your nutrition. You can jump on our weekly live coaching calls to ask questions and get personalized coaching, or just reach out in the community at any time and ask questions. The calls are recorded and saved to the course materials. So if you can't make it live, don't worry, you can always watch the replays and you get lifetime access to the course materials. We're going to teach you how to set realistic body composition goals, not just weight loss goals, how to set macronutrient targets specific to your goals, and build your own pro-metabolic meal plans. We also have recipe books, meal plan examples, and food lists. We're going to help you customize a training program that fits how many days a week you can train, how long you can train for, what equipment you have access to, and any injuries. And don't worry, we cover everyone. So whether you have zero experience training, you've never set foot in a gym, to you're an advanced lifter that may be potentially not seeing the results that you want. So I'm going to pop a link in the show notes with all the details, and let's get back to the podcast. I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, it's possible. You are so much more capable than you think. Like, you don't realize. And she posted in our, now she's doing a fat loss phase. She spent like 12 months building her, because Craig said, I want you to get your lifts to here, because that's going to mean you're going to have the amount of muscle mass that you want to look like you want to look when you diet. So now she's done a fat loss phase and she's probably dropped like 4 kilos, eating what her maintenance calories would have been before. And she sent this photo in the, she's like 50 and she's like, oh, I'm just so grateful that like that day that you said to me, come on, like, and push me, you know, over to do it, because now I look so much better. I'm eating more calories. It was hard. Like, it was a head fuck at times, because she's like, oh, you know, I feel like I'm still a bit, you know, she's like, she wasn't fat, but you know, like women, like they're like, oh, I feel like I'm fat still. I'm like, keep going. Like, you're doing so good. Like, I just want you to put that energy into deadlifting. And look, sometimes, you know, if you're injured or this exercise you can't do, it's finding the exercise you can do and progressing those. And just imagine if you put all of the energy and thoughts that you focus on, like dieting and wanting to be skinny and losing weight, into like, I'm gonna fucking become an awesome lifter. You know, like, I still video, Ruby does this too. Like, I still video my lifts and sometimes we'll show Craig, you know, and I watch them back. I watch it back and assess myself, because I'm like, I wanna be the fucking best lifter ever. Like, you know, and I'm passionate about it. It's a skill. So it's like, if you could just, if you can just, if we can inspire you to just trust the process, eat some
Isn't
more
it funny
food.
though? Isn't that part there? I don't want that to go missed. Isn't it funny though that the people that have the bodies, that have the physiques, are the very ones that are putting all of that time, all of that attention, all of that stress into filming their lifts, getting better, getting stronger. All their obsession is in the gym. It's not on the dieting stuff. Like this is, you said this before, we're complicating it all too much. And that's because there's nothing else to talk about online. People want to like clickbait this, that, and the other. It's like there's nothing else for us to say except you need to just get someone to help you in the training element to get as strong as hell, because that is not just muscle. That is a mindset. That is a whole identity shift. And as soon as you're doing that, you're now acting like a quote unquote athlete, even though you're not an athlete. But now you can actually start to look like one. You can start to train like one. You can start to eat like one. And you stop having to get by on 1500 calories a day. And you can start sourdoughing your way to better friggin' deadlifts. And honestly, deadlifts, just being able to say, yeah, I lifted that, that gives you so much more confidence in every other thing that you do.
Totally. Like, do you know, I'm sure you get people come into the gym to me all the time, like, oh, you look so good. Like, you're so strong. We see you lifting, you know, like, and I don't do a lot of cardio because I just don't have time. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't do cardio. So I don't want people to fucking come and go, oh, Kitty says don't do cardio. I'm not saying that. I just don't have a lot of time to do anything else. So I because our businesses are so busy. So I just strength train 4 times a week for 45 minutes to an hour. I walk. I try and get 10,000 steps. Some days I don't because I'm just too busy and I can't get 2 walks in or it's raining. And I'm doing this fat loss phase now, and I've actually swapped out one upper body session to do Muay Thai with my friend Jess because she does it. And so I did it yesterday and it was fucking really intense. And like today I'm sore and like I'm sore from training and I'm like, that's enough. Like I feel like too many women do too much. Like you need to be strategic and Ruby does more cardio than me and she's good with like the zones and stuff. I think it's you got to be really strategic with it and make sure you're fueled well and it's helping you recover because I think a lot of women like they'll kill themselves with these long runs at this at high heart rates or they'll do heaps of HIIT classes which just impede your recovery and your body's ability to build muscle. Again, I'm not saying don't do cardio, but if your goal is I want to have the best physique, put all of your energy into strength training. Then, if you've got some left over, go and do some like zone two cardio. Or maybe, like, as Ruby really loves sprints. Like, I've done sprints a few times and I'm just like, oh, I just don't have the time or capacity to, like, you know, like, so for me, what gives me the best bang for my buck? Like, I'm doing this fat loss phase, eating 2,200 calories, my weight's dropping, I'm getting leaner every week. Just doing my strength training. So you don't have to like spend hours and hours and hours training, 3 to 4 days a week for an hour. Stay active. Like I play pickle, you know, I did the Muay Thai session. I was actually surprised, Ruby, at how like I thought, oh, I'll be fucked because I don't really do any so this sort of stuff ever. But I actually kept up pretty well. Like I was surprised. So I think strength
Oh
is
my
over a
goodness.
weakness.
People do not
Yeah.
realize, like, honestly, it is not walking and cardio that are the biggest things for longevity, for health, because your body is not going to be able to walk and cardio if it doesn't even have muscle to keep it upright, especially as you age. It's like cardio is amazing. I don't do sprints anymore, but I do like them for
She's
the
a good little
fact that
sprinter. I've seen her. I saw her sprint at this. She's like fucking hammers it. I'm like, you're an insane woman.
I do really enjoy those, but I haven't done them in such a long time. At the moment, I'm just doing my 2 long runs. But that's the thing, like, you need to fuel it if you're not recovering for your sessions, which is the thing that, Kitty, there's something you mentioned that I think is too important. You said that you were sore after you did the Muay Thai, blah, 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 blah. This is the thing with dieting. With dieting, you have less resources. You
Totally.
actually, the way to change your training for dieting isn't more, it's actually less. But you don't just need to do less because it shouldn't be impacting you within the first month of dieting. But you do need to be aware of your recovery capacities. And it's like the whole what is going to serve this part of the phase that you're in. We want to get stronger. What is the goal? The goal is to get stronger. The goal is to build muscle, no matter what phase you're in. So you're going to need to protect that muscle, and muscle isn't going to be built without getting recovered from. And that is why you need to fuel it as well, because using cardio as a fat loss tool is never going to work. It is something that's meant to help and assist with the strength training if it is like, if you have the ability to bring it in. Otherwise, strength training and walking is all you need to focus on. But strength training, like without muscle, you're not thinking for your 80-year-old self. You're not thinking for your 70-year-old self, because that 80-year-old self isn't going to be able to do HIIT and sprint and walking if your legs are frail and if you get tired half of the time. But something you said there as well, you have energy to do all of these things. That's what muscle also enables you to do. It gives you more life. It improves the quality of your life. It factors into, and it is like a ripple effect into everything else, because your body is able to function a lot more. The funny thing is, I have short, stocky legs. My coach called them short, stumpy things that shouldn't be able to run. That's what he said when I first started running, because
They can. I've seen them.
I was a short power lifter. And he's just like, I'll just program her for, because I had running goals. This was like way back before lockdowns. So funny, because I wanted to get a 5 kilometer in under 20 minutes. I got it, by the way. I don't know
Course
if I
you
can do that
did.
anymore.
Course you
Yeah,
did.
but he programmed me for all these things, like sprints, like try to sprint for 1 whole kilometer, which obviously you can't sprint for 1 kilometer. So it was like hell. But she's running really fast. It's doing this. She hasn't given up yet. She hasn't told me she wants to quit running. Like, this is the reason I was so powerful, the reason I was able to perform like that, is because
The muscle.
I was deadlifting like 180 by then. That was when I was an
Crazy.
actual power lifter. So that strength, that power, it factors into
It
so many
flows
other things.
over, I agree.
I cannot do that anymore, but that's a thing. I still have I still have muscle from it. That's what helped build muscle, because it factors into everything else.
Yeah, and I think too, like if again, if you're a woman who's quite busy, you know, like a lot of our women come in and they can barely commit, like they're like 3 days a week is all I can do. And I'm like, perfect, just commit to it. I want you to go in, hit those sessions, get your steps in, get your food in. They all lose weight, they all build muscle. And then if you've got more time on top of that, then, you know, if you want to do some sprints, do some sprints. If you want to do some cardio, do some cardio. But I think, yeah, too many women try to do too much and don't focus enough on the shit that's really going to move the needle. Because again, it's like if I'm in the gym for 45 minutes, I only need 45 minutes and I can like bang out some heavy deadlifts, you know, leg press, squat, whatever. And it's super stimulating, you know, like I'm just getting, it's amazing. I mean, it's not amazing because I fucking know this, but as soon as I like, you know, cut out the alcohol and tightened up the nutrition, eating actually, like I'm hungry, Ruby. Like I'm at 2,200 calories. I'm like, fucking, how did I ever eat 1,500? Like, it's I could, and I don't even think that I'm going to need to go below this to get to my goal. Like, I don't believe I would need to eat less calories. Cause and I also know that I feel hungry. I know I'm in a deficit. If there's a week where I don't drop, I just need to keep going. I don't need to cut my calories. Like I just I've done this so many fucking times, and I think that's another thing. Women, they don't see that change. And you probably see this too, like Craig when he's dieting someone, they might have a couple of weeks where there's nothing, and all of a sudden, whoosh, it drops. He's like, just stick where you are. Don't cut any more calories. You don't need to cut any more calories. Just stick it out. And you get there. You know, I think it's we get so impatient and then women either binge eat or they go off the plan or you know, it's just, I know it's difficult, but I think that's the beauty of having a coach and someone in your corner to just say to you, listen, I just want you to trust the process and keep going. Trust me. Like, you're not unique. I say this in the most nicest possible way, but like all the women that got the results in our program, me and Ruby, we ain't fucking special. We ain't unique. We don't have some different, you know, biological, cellular level. There's no difference between us. You know, like obviously there's differences. Like people like different foods and have different life circumstances, but the same basic principles apply to everyone, right?
The only difference is the time factor. That's the biggest thing. Like, you need to give it time. And the part that you said there with the coach, I think this is even more powerful and even more imperative when you are in the process of building your calories up and not reverting back to slashing your calories the moment things start to feel tight or things start to feel uncomfortable, because that is just going to keep you in the same spiral over. Everything takes time. And if you think fat loss is slow, mate, you're in for a hell of a ride when you're trying to build muscle. That is probably why you haven't built the shape that you want yet, because it takes time and people don't talk about the reality of it, because everything out there is promoting fat loss, because that's what us women want. We want to look leaner, but we're not absorbing in the information that actually gets us the physique we want. Physique is about learning how to train like someone who wants to build a physique.
And you can do it. Like, look, we were where you once were when we first started. I remember when I first met Craig and he loaded my program into the app. And I was like, oh fuck, I'll never hit those numbers. Like, this is ridiculous. And I remember when I got my first 100 kilo squat, I was so fucking excited. It was when I was working on site. And like, you can do it. You absolute every woman can do it. You just have to give it time, believe in yourself. You know, understand that there's going to be times when you have setbacks or like there's life periods where it may not be optimal and you may not be able to be, you know, 100%, but that's just life. You've just got to stay devoted to that person that you want to become and just roll with it and not try and expect perfection either. Like, I think that's another thing as well. Like, just give yourself some grace. Like, yesterday, I didn't get my fucking steps in. It pissed down rain. Like, I was like, whatever. Like, I just didn't get it in today. Like it's not, doesn't matter. Just keep going and start again tomorrow. You know? Yeah, it's just, I just, you've got to believe in yourself and you've got to, you've got to believe. And I
You're
think you've
not
got
gonna
to,
do it.
yeah,
You're
you
not
go,
gonna do
sorry.
anything if you don't believe in yourself. That belief part, if you don't believe it's possible for you,
Yes.
how can you expect yourself to put in the effort it takes to get there? Like, you can pretend that you are, or think that you are, or say, well, I just started a program. But if you deep down do not believe it's possible for you, or you have a fear that you cannot keep those results because your history tells you otherwise, how are you expecting to get success from there? Belief. There's the, I don't know whether you watch the Santa Claus movie, but I keep referring to it. But seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. You will never see it to be true if you've never believed it possible in the first place,
I love
because you're
that.
not going to be working the path to get there. You're not going to be putting in the absolute effort. You're not going to. It is very hard. I never watched or listened or read, I should say, The Man Searches for Meaning. But there's the whole meaning of that book is that if you believe there is something on the other side, then you will go through any grit, anything. And people do that with fat loss easily. People do
Yeah.
that, they grind through, they lose fat. But it's when that constant feedback mechanism is, but I can't keep it, but I always lose it, but I rebound, but I'm lost, but I'm hungry, but now I'm sabotaging myself with food, whatever's on the other end. That's what then leads to you struggling with food. That's what the real weight loss resistance is. But worse than that, now going on this end, it is very hard for you to push through a discomfort that is completely opposite of feeling less food, feeling empty in your stomach, feeling hungry, because that is what's so appealing to you. You're not going to go all in. You're not going to go through the discomfort of trying to get stronger, because to you, stronger or getting a double your body weight deadlift seems like it means bulk, it means big, it means
Yeah.
more, but it doesn't. It really doesn't. And I know that it's hard when we've been taught to mentally masturbate over macro choices and micro choices. That is really important, yes, because nutrients, you need your nutrients for proper metabolic function and hormonal function, yes. But to a point, as soon as you get to that point, finessing over it and masturbating over that more isn't going to get the physique. Put that effort into the
Into the
training,
gym. I
into
totally
the gym.
agree, because I think about, like, Craig always laughs at me because, obviously, again, I'm not a coach like you guys. Like, I coach women in our program, but not, I do the marketing, the business stuff. I'm just a product of the product. He's like, you've always just gotten good results because you go, like, all right, what's the basic shit that I have to nail and then just get fucking strong in the gym? Like, I eat a really good, well-balanced breakfast. I go and fucking smash, lift as heavy as I can. I don't overdo it. I focus on recovery. Then I just eat a well-balanced meal, like within 2 hours of post-training. I don't fucking worry about, like, I try and eat. It just depends what's happening in the day. And then I eat another well-balanced dinner and a snack, and I have a dessert, and I just repeat. I have nutrient-dense foods. I don't get micro-focused on the fucking meal timing. And, like, yes, supplements are good. Like, we take supplements. Like, there's quite a few supplements we take, but it's not going to fucking matter if you're not doing the basic shit, like getting enough sleep, eating enough food, just balancing those meals. It's actually pretty simple. And then really, like, find that mongrel in the gym. Like, I was talking to this woman yesterday in our coaching program. She's gorgeous, and she's one of those women, Ruby, that's like, she's at 25% body fat, so she's under muscled. She's in the healthy body fat range for a female to be at 25% body. That's healthy. You are a healthy female, but aesthetically, she doesn't look like she wants to look. So she's eating about 2,000 calories, and I said, look, you got two choices. You can diet and get leaner, but obviously you don't have the muscle that you want yet, so you're probably not going to look like you want to look. Or you can, you need to get, so I looked at her numbers. I'm like, you need to, like add 40 kilos to this deadlift. And she's like, oh yeah, but I do this and I do. I said, video your deadlift, get on the call with me next week. I will look at it. I'll look at it. I'll help you. And I said, you need to find some mongrel in the gym. She's like, yeah, I know. I just fluff around, and I can't remember what she said, but she's like, no, I need to, you need to find that, dig deep and push, because it's like, either you diet and you eat less calories and you'll have the leaner physique, but it's probably not going to look like you want. Or you can spend the time eating a bit more, like stay where your calories are, because you've got so much room to move with your strength and keep going. She's like, yeah, okay, all right, all right. And I was like, okay, like, I said, let's look at your program, and, like, are the, like, maybe we can do trap bar deadlifts if you're really struggling with fucking, like, because that shit, you just got to stand up. Like, that might be good to start with, Anyway. I was like, just bring your videos to me next week. And so many of them that I watch, I'm like, oh fuck, you could have done like five more reps. You had five
That's
more.
the thing. Like people, like we feel like we're training hard because it's uncomfortable. I see this so many times. I'm coming up with a series. This is a series that I actually want to do for reals. How do you know if you're building muscle? Most people stop way too short. Like if your reps are not slow, you're not growing. And by slow, you're meant to be pushing them as fast as possible, but they look slow because they're hard, because the muscles are struggling to push it up. But too many people, as soon as it starts to slow down, you stop as soon as it doesn't move at the same. That is so funny. Oh my God, I didn't think of that. You slow, I'll bring that up in right now. But as soon as things start to slow down, it's like you then double the effort in terms of, okay, we'll just add more reps, more sets because I'm not getting a lot more out of it. So it's like you're trying to fix intensity with more volume versus actually pushing through the slow and seeing yourself progress forwards, not expand widewards, because I don't mean fatness. I mean
No,
like it's
no.
bad wide
Yeah,
words, but
yeah.
you're not moving anywhere. You're just getting a bunch of volume that's not doing anything. And the link that I literally just made in my head just then is it's the same with dieting. It's the same with anything. If dieting isn't moving fast enough in that direction, we either throw everything at it and get the wider. That could be body wise as well, but both, because you could end up getting wider because then you just end up binging. Or you do the complete opposite and then quit and then try something else and then try something else and then you just end up getting nowhere. And that's the same with when we're trying to get stronger, which is pretty much what I just mentioned there, because the truth of the fact is you're going to see really fast progress to start with because you're a newbie. But if you then don't, I'll use your words, find that mongrel at the gym or find something that actually excites you to move forward, you're not going to be able to allow yourself to learn through the process because you're just going to keep chasing numbers on the logbook. And this is where I find a lot of women go wrong, where they change their programs every 4 weeks or
Totally.
just get a complete program renewal because their weights aren't going up anymore. So it's not working. And because you mentioned this with being a beginner and just starting anyway, otherwise you're never going to get better at it. This is the same with the strength element. It's like, well, if you keep changing things up because they're not progressing anymore, how can you expect to break past that ceiling and actually build muscle? Because you're not building muscle when you're getting stronger week to week, because you don't technically add big chunks of weight week to week. You need to force change to that muscle, and forcing change requires you to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And I don't think you understand just how slow upper body progress is, because
Totally.
upper body is way slower than lower body. And if you get defeated at shoulder presses, not being able to move up, then you're just going to add things in or try to fix it with something that isn't really going to fix it instead of patience and time.
Yeah, you've all got it in you. You can do it. You can absolutely fucking do it. Like, we believe in you. You know, you just, but I think too, energetically, you've got to make that decision. Like, you know, it's, yeah, people, oh, it's so hard, the fat loss. And, you know, I mean, there's obviously strategies like we'll teach you that will make it easier. Like, for example, prepping the food, having the meals ready. All my meals are ready today. All I have to do is heat them up. I'm so fucking busy, like back-to-back calls, podcasts. If I didn't have those meals ready, like, I'd probably eat some shit, or, like, you know, I wouldn't be consistent. And they're delicious meals I enjoy. So there's strategies to make it easier. But once you energetically decide that I'm going to do this and I'm all in, then it starts to become, instead of I can't do this, you start to ask yourself, how can I do this? You know, because, yeah, and once you get into a rhythm, you get a few weeks of consistency under your belt, you'll start to feel better. You'll sleep better. You have more energy. You know, women, I'm sure they do with you, Ruby, because they're so used to under eating carbs. They're like, oh my God, I stuck to
I
this
was
plan for a
just
week.
about
They're
to.
like,
I was
oh my
just.
God, Kitty, I'm sleeping better. My energy's so good. I'm hitting fucking PBs at the gym. They're like, fuck,
I
this
was
is
just about
awesome.
to say that. I
Yeah.
love that. Oh my God. Kitty, I fucking love you. No, honestly, you just, because you just said you need to put yourself energetically out there. I was going to come in. You know what? Energetically, you need to energetically put carbs into there as well. Because I think one huge, that's what I was going to say to like energetic, like we need that energeticness
Yeah, you need the
from
energy.
carbs.
Your cells run off
That.
glucose. Yeah.
You want to know what changed everything for me in terms of training? It wasn't, there were two things actually that changed everything for me and my physique. I used to go into the gym and do 10 sets of 10 as warm-ups for my squat. The
Oh my
bar,
God.
like I was trying to burn as many calories as possible and do as big. I'm like, I have to do squats because they burn the most calorie, like big compound movements, as many reps as possible, burning myself out with warm-ups. I wasn't really getting stronger because I burnt myself out in warm-ups. I would do 20 kilos, which is the bar, then 22.5, then 25, then 30, 32.5. I'd work my way all the way up until I've done 10 of 10. Then I would do my 3 sets of 8, 6, and 6. Like, who does that? As soon as I completely changed my view on training there and actually trained to get stronger, not just to burn energy or just to do as much as I can, my whole physique changed, but not without the other element, which is when I actually was well fueled and not trying to get by on 1500 calories, 1400 calories, training hits you differently. Life hits you differently. Recovery, sleep, because I was actually well fueled. Like the difference
Your
when you are
tolerance
well
levels.
fueled. Oh my goodness. Do you know how good a training session feels when you're not going into there hungry? When
No,
you're in there
incredible.
actually the
It's
best.
so energizing. You know, my, I don't know if I told you this, but both my brother and sister
Energizing.
have cancer. I'm speaking about this from the carbs perspective. So my sister, she's just been through breast cancer. She, you know, well, I was back there, obviously. My brother just got diagnosed with stage 4 sarcoma, which is a muscle cancer. But anyway, I'm really confident he's going to recover, because he's been on antidepressants for a long time. He just doesn't eat. during the day, starves himself, eats like one meal at night, eats shit, drinks alcohol, mega stressed. So anyway, when he got the diagnosis, I met like I was wasn't gonna, so it's so hard, I think, when your family members are going through shit and you want to help them because you know what you know. And I just messaged him and said, "Hey Benny, like Craig and I do this sort of stuff for a living. Like if you're open to it, I'd love to really help you with your nutrition and supplements and stuff." And anyway, he was just like, he's done everything we said. So we got all his bloods done. Craig's done this massive protocol for him with all the supplementation. I've helped him with all his nutrition. So he's eating huge breakfast, eggs, three eggs with cheese, sourdough with butter, coffee with milk, fruit, heaps of fruit, eating big meals, lots of dairy. I spoke to him yesterday. He's off his antidepressants now. He's like, "I can't believe I've got stage four cancer. I feel the best I've ever felt." So it just shows how fucked up he was before. Do you know what I mean? But like eating more food and giving his body, he's not even training. He just walks because he decided to do chemo too. So he's going through chemo. So that's pretty taxing on the body. But like even going through chemo, he's like, "I actually, like it's crazy to think how I used to live." And he's like, "Oh, you guys should help people with cancer." And I'm like, "Dude, it's just because you're eating more food." And like he sends me photos of him eating his liver. Like he buys the fresh liver, cooks it up. Eats the liver, eating his oysters, dairy, you know, taking all his supplements. I actually believe that he's doing the emotional work too with my coach Greta. So I paid for him to do sessions with her. And so like I actually truly believe he's gonna beat this cancer. Like I really do. I believe it because he's flipped his life like 180. But anyway, I just wanted to make that point about the carbs and him actually eating breakfast and eating throughout the day. He's like, "Oh, I can't fucking believe how good I feel."
Yeah,
Crazy,
like
eh?
that's the thing. The amount of people I can even for those that here's another one because I think this will relate to a lot more people. For those that are pre-diabetic or diabetic, I have one type one diabetic. I have two ex-diabetics that are now in remission. I have one Hashimoto's who is now in remission. And it's kind of funny. I'll touch on the Hashimoto's one because you spoke about her as well. My Hashimoto's client, she came to me doing Peloton. Doing lots of like fluffy, like she was training weights, but she was scared to get bulky. So she was training in that sort of way and a lot of cardio and under eating and obsessed with the scale. She would try to diet and then be out of a diet and always like nitpicking and snacking at night. Her fats were too high, her carbs were too low. Now we brought the carbs all the way up, we brought her calories up. It's funny. I have about five clients who struggle to get their carbs in because they're such fat lovers. And that's the thing, like fats are usually the thing that are holding you back. So we got the carbs up, we got them fueling well. Now they have energy to walk, their energy to do all these things, they're well fueled. Hashimoto's in remission. The diabetics actually eating carbs now, they're fueling themselves, they're able to build muscle, they're able to move around more. I had one lady who she's not a client because she just posted on a group and I commented on there. She was getting worse with all her blood markers because she got told that she needs to do this keto carnivore diet. And the thing is, that is like loaded with fats. That is easier to overeat your calories. You're not getting in any fiber, which is beneficial for diabetics. And what do you expect? Her cholesterol went up through the roof. Well, your fats are through the roof. You're not actually focusing on the things you need to, which is nutrients from vegetables, from fruits, from training, from moving.
Yeah, well, I think what I think, and this is the simple way I like to explain it, is people don't realize that insulin resistance isn't due to carbohydrates. It's the inability of your cell to utilize carbohydrates. So I always think about insulin, it's like the key that unlocks the door to let the glucose into the cell. So what's happening when you become insulin resistant is there's something blocking the key. And usually what that did is high free fatty acids in the blood, cortisol also blocks it. So stress. So when you're stressed, you think you're stressed, you release these free fatty acids into the bloodstream. You're eating a high fat diet, you're stressed. So it's not the carbs that's the problem. It's the high. So when, like you say, when we do the same thing in our program, we reduce stress, we lower the carbohydrate, sorry, lower the fats, we increase the carbohydrates, and we improve the cell's ability to use the glucose. So it's not the carbs aren't the issue. When you remove carbs, you're just removing the symptom. You're solving the symptom, which doesn't actually fix the underlying root cause. And we're like, "You fuck, we've got help people with Hashimoto's, thyroid issues, you know, PCOS, endometriosis." When you actually nourish
And
the body,
carbs aren't the
carbs,
answer.
the carbs,
As
carbs.
in, like, cutting them aren't the
No,
answer.
no. And also too, like people are like, "Oh, fructose." I'm like, "Yeah, but fructose can enter your cell without the help of insulin. It enter the liver without." So fruit is actually one of the best things that you can eat because it's a combination of fructose, glucose, fiber, nutrients, potassium. Potassium acts like insulin, helps to push glucose into the cell. So like you want to keep the fat lower. balance the meals with protein, carbs, and fat. So it's like, and then reduce stress, you know, and there's other supplements we sometimes use, like niacinamide is good, vitamin E, you know, but overall it's more, it's the diet and the stress. Like you can still have people like that are skinny that are insulin resistant because they are very stressed. And like like we've done little tests ourselves with, you know, the blood, you can do, pick your
And
finger.
under muscled as
Yeah.
well.
And you wake up in the morning from a bad night's sleep and you're stressed because your body's, or you're under eating and you're fasting, like your glu it's high in the morning because of that raised cortisol, those high free fatty acids in the blood. So it's like, it's not, you think about it too, like stress plays a massive part as well. I feel like women don't understand too. Like it's not just, okay, remove the carbs, that's going to fix everything. It just doesn't.
That's what I was going to mention when you mentioned stress, the cortisol part, because so many people demonize cortisol. But then you just said something very important there. It releases fat. Like cortisol oxidizes fat. Like you get it actually mobilizes fat. You get the fat out. It's not bad for that element. It's the fact that, okay, cool, you have
And it
free fatty
breaks down
acids in your
muscle.
blood.
You think too, like if you're under, too many women, they're under eating. So they're, when they're under eating, their body's relying on stress hormones to raise blood sugar. So if you're constantly under eating, like we were, you're tiny because you've got no muscle.
But that's the thing that I think is really important here, where we actually really push for muscle, is now that you have free fatty acids in your bloodstream, now you have glucose in your bloodstream, what are you doing with it? Nothing except stressing. Like the cortisol isn't coming from exercise, it's coming from you being stressed. There is a complete difference. The cortisol from exercise is what helps us use fuels in the right way. But if you have stress coming from all these different
Yeah, you're not
elements, and
sleeping,
this
emotional stress, like,
under, I was going to say, under eating is also a stress. Overtraining, under recovering is also a stress. You're not going to fix that. This is the issue with perimenopause, ladies. The issue is not going to be fixed with harder dieting or harder
No
exercise or
way.
more HIIT. That is only exacerbating it because your body needs recovery. That is why your cortisol is high. Because if you think your cortisol is high, instead of trying to fix it with a hormone pill, get more recovery, eat more carbs. Carbs are going to help with that because insulin mitigates cortisol. Like they help each other. And then something that I really wanted to touch on, because I think it's really important for what both of us preach, when you aren't fueling your workouts, that is leaving your cortisol high throughout the day. And then you wonder why you crash at night and then binge eat the pantry, because you didn't then buffer that cortisol with eat food. Even food in itself is going to help with that.
Sugar
And
lowers, carbohydrates lower cortisol. Yeah, like you think about it when I've done it in the past and you're starving, you feel really wired. As soon as you eat a good meal, you're like, ah, oh, relax. You're relaxed. Yeah. And you don't even like, you don't even have to even get into the nitty gritty detail. Hey, you just need to fucking eat enough, like set the macros, find the right spot, balance your meals, eat nutrient dense foods. But nutrient dense doesn't mean blah either, you know? Like you can eat, I think, I fucking love my food. I think it's delicious, you know? Like it's not like, do you too? Like I really actually look forward to my
I was going
meals.
to say, I think a lot of people don't actually realize this part, because if this is where I'm kind of controversial in this, and I think it's because when I started coaching, it was 2013, 2014. So this was when macros weren't all that big. It was meal plans. So for me, my thing was always, you need to earn your flexibility. You haven't earned flexibility with your food yet. We need to have you eating in a certain way to know, because no one knows what it's like to eat in a way that makes you feel good. No one knows what it's like to eat in a way that has your body actually digesting. You're actually pooping like a human and feeling like a human, because you might feel like a human now, but you don't know how good it feels when all of a sudden, holy shit, I didn't know that the volume switch went up to 10. I've been living on 8, thinking it's the highest level. Actually, no, there is level 10, there's level 13. It's just that you haven't unlocked it yet. And this is such a huge, huge thing when it comes to the way that you fuel your, well, as soon as you learn how to eat in a way that makes you feel good, not only is it, I want to eat more like this, as soon as you eat and stray from that, you want to go back to the normal. It's like, oh my God, I'm actually craving vegetables now. But the best part is that, you know, detoxes, right? Well, you can actually detox your taste buds. You don't detox your body, you detox your taste buds. It takes about 2 weeks if you get away from all the hyper-palatable shit, just eating more whole foods, not the artificially laden crap that you just get in packets that really bombard you with mouth orgasms. As soon as you eat more just plain foods and then realize, holy shit, the broccoli actually tastes like it has flavor. It doesn't taste like paper because you allowed yourself to detox your taste buds to that. It takes 2 weeks, 3 weeks max, but then you'll start to love just the natural tastes of food and you can start to find that it's so much easier to stay lean because now you're not having all of these extra cravings. And you also, like, I hate the whole deep dopamine detox bullshit, but you stop sending the same rewarding signals to your brain, which helps because now, like you mentioned, less food noise. You just created a position where you can actually fuel yourself in a way that isn't just fueling for muscle, but it's fueling for a better quality life. For feeling in control. And that's typically what people come to us wanting. They want to feel like they are in control of their results and not everything else controlling them. But yeah.
Totally. Oh my God, that was so amazing. I feel like we could talk for hours, but I can't because I've got a ridiculously busy day and a million other calls and got another podcast straight out of this. But this was so amazing. I loved it so much. And everyone, take a screenshot of the episode, share it on Instagram stories, and tag me at KRTTYBLOMFIELD. And I pick a winner and share your biggest takeaways. And I pick a winner every month and they get a satchel of Saturated Premium Collagen. I'm going to put all of Ruby's details in the show notes so you can follow her. She's amazing. You'll be so inspired by her lifts. And I will see you again next week.
Thank you all for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got something from it. Message Kitty or me if you have any takeaways, if you have any questions. Don't forget to shoot me a message on Instagram. If you have rated the podcast 5 stars, I would highly appreciate it. And in return, I will look over a program. I will help you with anything. And you'll hear me on the next podcast. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, or leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. That helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. You can also keep up with your host and find her content on Instagram at KITTYBLOMFIELD. Once again, thanks for tuning in to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, and we hope you'll join us again on the next episode. Until then.